guys, let me tell you something. Netflix learned a lot from Mike Tyson, Jake Paul. You get the best.
But did the CFP playoff committee learn anything?
No.
True.
Yeah, we're going to go over that. We're going to go over the fantasy stuff. We're going to go over all of the Christmas stuff, because there's a lot to go over here on the BS Big Show on Day After Christmas with Jason Block and myself, Chico Alexander. Thank you so much for being a part of our holiday. And, of course, we would love any holiday with this man, the king of the North Coast, Santa's helper over at Cedar Point, Mr. Ian McClendon.
Yes, indeed. Season's greetings from the North Coast, and good evening, everyone. I hope you had a Merry Christmas, Chico, and I hope you're enjoying your Hanukkah, Jay. And
I am.
Yes, indeed. And I'm feeling giddier than a capitalist lolcow on Christmas Eve. For a variety of reasons, and I'm happy to report that Mariah did not get what she wanted for Christmas. Yes, her
all she wants for Christmas is the residual check.
Yeah, yes, and basically her loved ones said that ship has sailed. I'm giving my heart to someone special, and she didn't return it today, so. That's pretty much how it went for her.
My friend, I think you got your Christmas carols mixed up, but I am happy to report that I've survived Whamageddon.
Whamageddon
is another picture. But anywho, we've got
I survived Mariahgeddon as well.
Yep, we've got a lot to talk about, not a lot of time, so let's go ahead and
playoffs? What are you talking about? Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
So the first four games of the college football playoff went sort of the way we thought it was going to be, 2-2. But I mean, two games were okay, and two were absolute, crap. But let's start. Let's start with the first game, which was Notre Dame and Indiana, and Notre Dame pretty much crushed Indiana 27-17. They get to play Georgia in the Sugar Bowl on New Year's night. Okay.
Then we go to SMU versus Penn State. Penn State walloped SMU by a score of 38-10. They will face the Boise State Broncos in the Verbo Fiesta Bowl also. On New Year's Eve at 7:30 on the ESPN.
Then, unfortunately, the game we wanted so bad to have happen didn't go the way we wanted to, nor did it go for Mr. Brian Henniger. Ohio State showed that the Big Ten still has life. Ohio State walloped the Tennessee Volunteers 42-17. And then on New Year's Day in the Rose Bowl, the granddaddy of them all, Ohio State gets a rematch with Oregon. Oregon win. And then finally, Chico, what happened?
Then we have Clemson taking on Texas. Texas wins 38-24 and will face the Arizona State Sun Devils in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl from the ATL on New Year's Day at 1 on the ESPN.
So let's do this, shall we? So we have our final eight. By the time we come back, we will have the semifinalists, which will be on the 9th and the 10th, both on ESPN.
Okay, so it's Texas, Arizona State in the Peach Bowl. I'm going with Texas. Ohio State, Oregon in the Rose Bowl. I'm going with Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
The Fiesta Bowl has Penn State and Boise State. I'm going with Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
And, the Sugar Bowl has Notre Dame and Georgia. I'm going with Georgia.
Copy paste on that one. It's going to be Georgia and Penn State, Texas and Oregon in the Final Four.
And Ian?
The team with the most points.
You are very diplomatic, and that sucks. No. No, I respect. No, I like you. I respect your diplomacy. But yeah, you're going to have to pick a winner sometime.
I said the team with the most points.
Okay. Well, well.
Are you ready for it? Excuse me for being a little too giddy. I must be hopped up on the eggnog or something.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Are we going back to last week?
We're going to last week, and we're going to be very quick. It's in the hurry up elf fence this week. Elf fence.
Okay.
As we talk about the Houston-Kansas City game, the Chiefs win 27-19, and it was not bad. I mean, Patrick Mahomes threw for a touchdown. He also ran for a touchdown, and they were closing in on the number one seed. Patrick Mahomes, 26-41 for 260, one touch, no picks, one sack. Kareem Hunt, your leading rusher, with a touchdown off of 55 yards. Patrick Mahomes also ran in one off of his 33 yards and 5 carries. Xavier Worthy, 65 yards, 7-11, 65 yards and a touch. Over on Texans, C.J. Stroud, 23-39, 244, 2 touches, 2 picks, 2 sacks. Joe Mixon running in for 57 yards and take down. Ran for 98, caught 6-7 for 98 yards and a touch. And Dalton Schultz.
Normally, it would be...
You're getting a death.
But in this case, it's, dude, you're getting an injured...
No!
Oh, God. Nope.
That's the thing. He got the quintuplet, okay?
He got the ACL, the MCL, the LCL, torn meniscus, and suffice it to say, he's not playing it down in 2025.
He won't be back until September 2026.
If then...
He's out for two seasons.
Pretty much all the LCLs are busted.
All of the CLs are busted, yes.
It's bad. He was doing well. I mean, Dalton Schultz had the other touchdown. But in the other Saturday, what was it? In the other Saturday game.
Yes.
The Rays, excuse me. Ian? Most teams, I believe, clinched with this game. I think.
Yeah, they at least clinch. They at least clinch right. with this yes. game.
And Lamar was just, well, he was all right. The Steelers go into Baltimore and get stomped 34-17. Lamar, 15-23, 207, 3 touches, 1 pick, 1 sack. But Derrick Henry, good grief, 24 carries, 162. No rushing touchdown, but Zay Flowers, laser.
Laser time, boys!
5 of 8 for 100, but Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely, and Rashad Bateman all caught touchdowns. Russell Wilson was okay. 22-33, 217, 2 touches, 1 pick, 3 sacks. Cordarrelle Patterson and McCole Pruitt caught the touchdowns, but... It was the Ravens game to lose, and well, that was horrible, but again, we will talk about more about that later on.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, now we're going over to Soldier Field, where the Lions came, beat up the Bears, and then went home by a score of 34-17. Jared Goff.
Go, Lions, go! Go, Lions, go!
32, Jared Goff, 336, 3 touchdowns, no picks, 1 sack. Jahmyr Gibbs, 23 carries, 109. Where's my Mega Buster? Okay, yeah, 109 yards and a touch. And,
laser time, boys!
Oh, boy. Jameson Williams, 143 yards, 5 of 7 there. And a touch on top of that.
By the way, there was an awesome trick play. Jared Goff stumbles. He's like, no, I'm sorry. Touchdown. So great. So awesome.
Right? It's like... Yeah, trip on yourself and then you make it look like a funky dance. That's what it is. Anyway, Amon-Ra St. Brown also scores. Sam Laporta also scores. And
he was the one who scored off of that trick play Laporta was.
Uh-huh. Chicago, Caleb Williams, 26 of 40, 2 touches, 334 yards, 2 touches, no picks, 2 sacks. And he also ran for 34 and Keenan Allen...
Laser time, boys!
And a 13 for 141 and a touch, and Cole Kmet with the second touch.
Ian, the less said about this game, the better. Joe Burrow saving a season, and the Browns suck. They're 33.
Yes, indeed. Burrow went 23 of 34, 252, and 3 touchdowns, 4 sacks, Collender, and the Bengals 24-6 win over the Browns in the Battle of Ohio. And let's go with Chase Brown, 18 carries, 91 yards, and Jamar Chase, 6 of 8 for 97 and a touch. And also you have T. Higgins grabbing 8 out of 11 for 58 and a touch. Andre Yosivas, 3 out of 3 for 53 and a touchdown. And DTR went 20 of 34, 157. Got picked twice, Civ. 5 sacks, and 10. Jerome Ford led the rushing, 11 carries, 92 yards, and a touchdown. And Sinajoku was wild, 8 out of 10 for 66 yards, but really nothing of any significance in that department.
Nope, and again, there's that. Okay. Jonathan Taylor, good grief, Mega Buster time, please. Let me just tell you something. The Colts were ahead 38-15 at the end of 3. They let the Titans score 15 in garbage time. But let me just tell you something. Anthony Richardson didn't have to throw at all. Look at his, he was 7 of 11 for 131. Why didn't he need to, Chico?
Oh, because why didn't he need to?
It's the year of the running back, isn't it?
The running back, yeah.
Jonathan Taylor ran for 29 carries, 218, and 3 touchdowns, and including a 70-yard, and Anthony Richardson ran for 1 by his own damn self. Josh Down caught 1. Over on the Titans side, Mason Rudolph, well, he was not the red-nosed reindeer. 23-34, 252. 2 touches, 3 picks, 1 sack. Tyjae Spears ran for not 1, but 2. And Calvin Ridley and then Nick Westbrook-Kinney caught the other 2. So, there's that for that one. Buffalo escaped.
Yeah, it was a game of turnovers, and Buffalo had more than New England. But still, they also had more points. 24-21, the Bills escape with their 12-3 home record intact. Josh Allen, 16-29, 154, 1 touch.
Yuck.
1 sack. Yuck.
By the way, how are you performing this badly against New England? You should be scoring 500 yards and 4 touchdowns, really.
Yeah. I mean, look at what Drake May did, Tar Heel in the house, 22 of 36, 261, 2 touches, 1 pick, 2 sacks. And comparing rushing games, James Cook with the Mega Buster run. rushing for 100 yards off of 11 carries and a touch. Ramondre Stevenson rushed for 60 off of 12 carries and a touch.
And James Cook also caught one by his own damn self.
Yep.
And Jayshon Boutte. Yeah. My dad goes, this guy named Boutte? Yeah, Boutte.
Yep. This is Mr. Seven, Rudy, yeah.
5-7, 95 and a touch. And Hunter Henry, 4-8, 39 and a touch. So, yeah, the Bills should have won that game a lot bigger than this one. But
Taron Johnson with, I believe it was, yeah, it was a pick six on Taron Johnson, so.
But we need Big Sean.
It was a strip six, my mistake. And now.
Big Sean. Ass. Stop. Now make that motherfucker hammer sound like. But here is this. The game was half full. You could have walked in, went and get 50-yard line seats for, like, I don't know what, okay? You had a 2-3, you had
a 2-12 Raiders against the 3-11 Jaguars.
And the Raiders won 29-14. Next, moment of silence.
19-14.
Yeah, moment gone. Next.
Okay, now we're going into the opening the presents drive, where we talk about all the games with meaning that had something to watch out for, and we start with the Denver Broncos and the Los Angeles Chargers. Do you ever see a free kick score?
I don't even know what that is.
I don't even know what it is either. I had to look at that. But the Chargers score on a free kick and rally to beat the Broncos 34-27. Now, I'm going to do some quick research here. Now, the NFL free kick rule, this is from ESPN. According to the rule book, a free kick is a kickoff, safety kick, or onside kick that puts the ball in play to start a free kick down. It's typically only made at the end of a half because if it is unsuccessful, the play would result in a turnover. After a fair catch is made or is awarded as the result of fair catch interference, the receiving team has the option of putting the ball in play by a snap or a fair catch kick or a drop kick and place kick without a tee from the spot of the catch or a succeeding spot after enforcement of any applicable penalties. This includes the 15-yard penalty enforced from the receiving team's 20-yard line that is applicable if the fair catch is made or awarded in his end zone from fair catch interference or illegal contact with the receiver after he has made a fair catch. That's what the NFL says.
Well, the Chargers did that, and they won 34-27.
According to the Elias Sports Bureau, the last fair catch kick attempt was by Joey Sly of the Carolina Panthers, attempting a 60-yard kick in London against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and then a wide right. The last successful free kick was made in 1976, with the Chargers, but this time it was Ray Wershing converting a 45-yard field goal against the Buffalo Bills.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that happened.
And let's just go very quickly through the stats. Herbert, 23-31, 284, two touches, one pick, two sacks. Gus Edwards ran for not one, but two. And Hassan Haskins and Darius Davis.
Who this guy be?
Yes. They also had the touchdowns. Over on the Denver side, Bo Nix, 29-40, 263. Two touches, two sacks. Audric Estime with a running touchdown. Yeah.
Who this guy be?
And Devon Vailey, yeah, again.
Called. Who this guy be?
And Michael Burton.
Called. Who this guy be?
Yeah, exactly. They all had a touchdown. But you know what? Looking at the Broncos are in the playoffs right now. We've got two spots in the AFC and three spots in the NFC left if we go to week 17. One team that won't be in the playoffs is my fucking New York Giants. Atlanta crushed them 34-7. Watching the Giants play football is like having your nuts in a vice grip. It's just not fun. It's not even watched. Do we even need to go through it?
Well, it was Michael Penix's first shot at starting.
Yeah, fine. Okay, fine. So we do have
to go through that. And for a first timer, he didn't do that darn badly. 18-27, 202 yards, no touches, one pick, no sacks. Because here's the running back, Bijan Robinson. 22 carries, 94 yards, two touchdowns, and yeah, that's pretty much all.
Again, there were not one but two pick sixes by the on Atlanta by
yep,
Jeff and Michael Judon, who stole the ball
Matthew Judon.
I'm sorry. And they got two or three field goal. It was just horrible. Giants are 2-13. They're tanking for Shador. I don't even want to go there. They're horrible.
That means someone was eliminated. The Falcons win eliminated the New Orleans Saints from the playoff berth hunt.
Well, can I have that foreshadowing clue again, please, Cliff?
In the business, we call this foreshadowing.
Yeah, because we're talking about the Saints, and they did something this week that no one has done in the NFL this year. No one.
Yep. In the 16 weeks of the NFL season, not one team has ever been shut out.
You know, I was trying to save it.
Well, they were eliminated anyway.
Mm-hmm. All right, 3, 2, 1.
In the business, we call this foreshadowing.
Yeah, the Rams beat the Jets. I have it here, 19-9. Aaron Rodgers was terrible, 28-42, 256. No rushing touchdowns, and Devontae Adams had the only touchdown of the game. Stafford was terrible. Kyler Williams was great, 23-122. And Tyler Higbee is back, and he caught a touchdown. Okay, can we go to...
Yes, we can.
Okay, but we need the Tecmo for this one. Big time. So Jalen Hurts is in concussion protocol. Do we have an update on that? Because that happened early in the game this week.
It happens early in the game. I have the update of he did not practice today as we recorded.
I am guessing that Pickett will play this week. I would rather rest Hurts to make sure that he is healthy for the playoff run. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense.
Because they don't need to win another game, do they?
No, the Eagles are in the playoffs.
Okay. So, Mega Buster again for Mr. Saquon Barkley. Yards rushing on 29 carries. How close is he to the promised land? Saquon Barkley has 1,838 yards this season. Okay? He needs 267 yards over the next two games.
Given what Saquon Barkley could do, given that they are building the team around him, is not infeasible. It's not unfeasible. He got 150 yards this game.
Except for one problem. Don't you rest him against either the Giants or the Cowboys?
So if he wants to make that mark, it's going to have to be this week.
Either this week or you make sure that he goes. But remember, the Eagles are 12-3 and right now are in, I don't see, Did I close the playoffs?
I got it right here. The Eagles right now are in the number two spot.
Okay. And yeah. Are they? And they don't. Do they have a clinch? They have not clinched.
They have. They've clinched at least a playoff berth. That's what.
Okay.
They are leading the. They are leading the NFC East at the moment.
Again, we will definitely see where that goes. Because remember, we have other teams hunt. But even so, Jaden Daniels was fucking phenomenal. 24-39, 258, 5 touches, 2 picks. Okay? Including the game winner at the end, which was just outstandingly good. And I just need to get it. That was to Jamison Crowder. And they also got the 2-point conversions as well, with 6 seconds left. Unbelievable. But the question is, and now the Commanders also have a spot too at the moment, yes?
At the moment. At the moment being the operative word. Remember, they still have to. They are literally hanging on by a thread.
Well, no, but they have to win. There's a lot of clinching scenario for week 17.
And speaking of, Washington's win eliminated the Cowboys and 49ers.
Ooh! How about them Cowboys? Oh, boy.
How about those Cowboys? Shut the hell up. Anyway.
Wait a minute, Chico. What the hell?
Okay, having absolutely nothing to play for except for Dave Canales' job, which seems to be kind of sort of secured for the moment, the Carolina Panthers have embraced another role.
Spoilers.
Ha ha ha! Enter the Arizona Cardinals, who are still fighting for a playoff spot. Well, the Carolina Panthers led 20-17 at the half and seems to have had this game well and truly in hand, although they let the Cardinals force overtime, and going into overtime, it was back and forth. It was trading punts until Chuba Hubbard, right tackle, for 21 yards off of the Arizona 21 on 1st and 10 with 3 minutes of change left. And that puts the Carolina Panthers in the winner's circle this week by a score of 36-30. And with the loss, Ian, the Arizona Cardinals are going to be watching basketball in January. Yay! Okay, Bryce Young went 17-26, 158, 2 touches, no picks, 3 sacks, because the Carolina Panthers O-line be O-lining. Chuba Hubbard, the hero of the game, 25 carries. Hundred 152 yards and 2 touches. Bryce Young ran one in his own damn self. Again, the most competent football I've seen the Carolina Panthers play this year. Adam Thielen, leading receiver, 5 of 8 for 43 and a touch. David Moore also caught a touch off of 39 yards. And going to the Cardinals, Kyler Murray, 20 of 32, 202, 1 touch, 1 pick, 3 sacks. James Conner. Carries, 117 yards and a touch. Kyler Murray also ran in his own. We have two identical teams, but the Cardinals have the better record. I think they benefited from a cheesecake schedule. That's just me, though.
Oh, and by the way, over on the receiving, and the only touchdown was DJ Dallas.
Called. Who this guy be?
Okay. He was 1 carry, 1 touch, and there's that. Moving on, hey, Ian, let's blow the horn.
Let's blow the horn indeed. The Minnesota Minnesota Vikings have won 8 in a row. 4 KO. 8 in a row. 4 KO.
Who's the KO?
Kevin O'Connell.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. As in GO for KO. 27-24, the Vikings got the win at Seattle, and Sam Darnold went 22 of 35 for 246 and 3 touchdown passes and 3 sacks for Paul Allen's team. The other, there were two Paul Allens involved. The estate of Paul Allen, the Microsoft guy, owns the Seahawks, while Paul Allen, the broadcaster, is the Vikings' biggest cheerleader. Yes, indeed. Aaron Jones carried the ball 18 times for 67, leading the rushers. And
laser time, boys!
Where would the Vikings be without Justin Jefferson? Grabbed 10 out of 13 for 144 and 2 touchdowns. Both were outstanding plays, amazing plays. And Jordan Addison grabbed 5 out of 8 for 35 and the other touchdown. Meanwhile, on the Seahawks side, Geno Smith went 31 of 43 for 314, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks, 2 sacks, and Kenneth Walker III carried the ball 8 times for 31 to lead the rushing, but he is out of the season due to injury. And an Ohio State product, Jackson Smith and Jigba, led the Seahawks receivers, grabbing 8 out of 12 for 95 and a touch, and DK Metcalf, 3 out of 7 for 57 and a touch. But the Seahawks tried to even it up, but Jason Myers tried like a 60-yard field goal, which didn't even make it. So Minnesota continues to roll. Paul Allen continues to continues to be giddy, and
a lot of 60-plus field goal attempts.
Yes, indeed. You see what Brandon Aubrey has done?
Well, we're going to talk about that in a minute. But first, the Miami Dolphins keep their playoff hopes alive with a 29-17 win over the Miami Dolphins. 2-22-34-22.
Wait, the Dolphins didn't beat themselves. They beat the San Francisco 49ers, I think.
Well, yeah. Give Devin Achane, Foster. Seventeen carries, 120 and a touch, including a 50-yard run. Tyreek Hill was the only one who caught one. And over the 49ers, they're just done. 26 of 43, 13, 2 touches, 1 pick, 3 sacks for Brock Purdy. No rushing game to speak of. George Kittle, though, laser.
Laser time, boys!
9 for 106, Debo Samuel, 7-9. The 96, but they're 49ers are playing for pride right now. But it is time for the BS
Big Show Game of the Year
or Week.
This was actually the Sunday night Carrie Underwood special, and you know what? This was an entertaining game because Dallas had nothing to play for. But you know what? Tampa Bay did, and they lost. 24-26, I believe, on a last-second check. No, Tampa Bay came back for 236, but it was just too late. Dallas was up 26-14.
Did I hit it again?
What do you mean?
Spoilers.
Yeah. So, Baker was 31 of 43, 303, 2 touches, 1 pick, 4 sacks, Colander. Bucky Irving ran in for a touch. And Jalen McMillan and Ryan Miller caught touchdowns. Over on the Cowboys, 26-35, 292, Cooper Rush. Had a pretty clean game. Ezekiel Elliott ran in for a touch.
Laser time, boys!
Excited.
But I do need Court Ramsey and then Tecmo.
Take the lamb off the menu. Stop it. I don't give a flying fuck. You Chef. Don't dare cook any more lamb. Jean-Philippe has taken so much flack on the back of your inconsistency.
Yeah, because CeeDee Lamb is out for the year with, what, a shoulder injury?
I got it right here. CeeDee Lamb shut down. Yep, it's a shoulder. What it is, he's dealt with a sprawled AC joint in his shoulder since November 3rd. He's aggravated almost on a week-to-week basis.
Oh, that's got to hurt like a bitch. I'm sorry.
And
but you know what?
He has scans that show that the injury worsened. So, and with the Cowboys eliminated, they don't see much use in playing CD hurt.
But you know what? If the Dallas can go 8-9 or 9-8, that would actually be a victory. And I'm not trying to be funny about it. I really am not.
Be a moral victory, but at 7-8 Cowboys, and with who do the Cowboys have coming up? They have
the Eagles and the
Commanders. So if they can, you know, they can end the year at the more realistic scenario is they end the year 8-9. That's the more realistic scenario. If they can end it 9-8. That's a bonus.
Mm-hmm. But I need some Ray Combs for this one.
Hero.
And I also... the heck was that?
We're getting it all. Got Ray Combs, the shutout buzzer, the Clinch missile arm, and Wayne Larrabee with a dagger, and Love taking over.
Yeah, because this for the first, I believe this is the longest time until a shutout, right? I believe ever.
This has been the longest we've seen an NFL team not go with absolutely no score, and that just speaks to the caliber of teams that we have, even the ones that are completely terrible. But yeah, let's go over what happened here. Jordan Love, 16-28, didn't even have to play the whole game. 182, one touch, no picks, no sacks, clean game. Malik Willis actually played a series. That's how.
Look at how many running backs! Look at how many running backs! Nine running backs!
Josh Jacobs, Emmanuel Wilson, Chris Brooks, Christian Watson, Bell Belt, Jaden Reed, Jordan Love, Tucker Kraft, and Malik Willis ran for a combined 188 yards.
And three touchdowns.
Josh Jacobs, Emmanuel Wilson, and Chris Brooks.
Called. Who this guy be?
That was for Dontavian Wicks, who caught the only touchdown for the Green Bay. But they also did 10 receivers. They spread the ball out. And if they can do the, well, I mean, it's the same, but if they can do that a bigger team, they could be dangerous down the road. I mean, we don't even have to go through this thing. It was Spencer Rattler. It was terrible. It was
rattled.
Yeah, but it was
153, no touches, one pick, three sacks.
But it is now time to go ho 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 on Netflix. Okay, so the four teams that played on Saturday flipped it and reversed it and played the opposites of their teams on Sunday. Okay, I mean on Wednesday on Netflix to a combined, what was it?
65 million. The 65 million people watched either of the games and the Beyonce halftime show. When, by the way, your girl killed it.
Oh, and by the way, I just have to ask, all joking aside, Ian, did you have any issues streaming?
Absolutely none. I played it on the NFL Plus on the tablet.
Okay, I had it on Netflix, and I watched it both on my phone at my dad's PT appointment, and I watched it at home, and the streaming was flawless. And I mean flawless.
I watched it at work on my phone, and then I had to pause it to drive home. I spent 30 minutes driving home and 30 minutes looking for my lovely sister's Pashmina. But when I found the Pashmina, I put the game on the television, and it was right there where I left it. And that's going to be one of the benefits of playing on Netflix. You can either watch it live or pause it one source, come back to another source, play it. I am here for this.
Yeah, I am here for this too. But, Taylor, one more time. Are you ready for it? And it is Clinchmas! Meet again!
It's Clinchmas!
Hey, how about those teams?
The road to New Orleans will run through Arrowhead officially. Chiefs secure the number one spot and home field advantage all through the playoffs on the back of their 29-10 win over the Pittsburgh Steelers, who I'm not mistaken, also playoff bound. Yep.
So, they are playoff bound, but I will tell you, the Chiefs are starting to... You know how that look of inevitability of the Chiefs? You know, and I cannot stand Nick Wright because he is a Chiefs like fangirl, jokingly. But I will say this was the best game the Chiefs played all year, and Mr. Taylor Swift actually had a bit of history, right?
Yep, Travis Kelce becomes the all-time leading receiver in Chiefs history in receiving touchdowns.
He beat some guy named Tony Gonzalez.
That guy now be on Prime Video.
I know,
right?
That. I'm watching him right now, guys.
Yeah, I saw him. 29-38, 320, 3 touches, clean. Best game of the year for the Chiefs. Kareem Hunt ran in for a touchdown, but Kelce, Worthy, Justin Watson, they all caught touchdowns. The Steelers were just—they were cooked. 23-37, 205, 1 touch. Five sacks. Russell Wilson ran in for the only touchdown, but I have to ask you, if the Chiefs keep playing like this, it's repeat time, right?
I have to say so. I mean, we thought the Chiefs were starting to sort of kind of flub themselves. They came back with a vengeance.
No, it was not the flubbing themselves. It was, lucky this year. The refs gave him this. But, man, if you read X, everyone thinks that the game is rigged for the Chiefs. I'm like, these are the same people who thought Tom Brady got it for when he won the 7 Super Bowl. Please.
X, nobody's happy. Anyway.
Yeah, but now we then go, oh, in the way.
This was bowling shoe ugly. Okay, you want to talk? You know what the best part about this game was?
Beyonce.
The Beyonce halftime show.
The Beyonce halftime show. Absolutely.
Which, by the way, is being released as a standalone later this week. So,
right. I mean, here's the thing. Lamar Jackson and Josh Johnson didn't have to do anything. It was 11-17, 181, two touches, one sack. Why? Buster!
This is why you signed him.
This is why you signed King Henry!
This is why the Ravens and the Chiefs may play in the the championship game again. 27 carries, 141 and a touch. You know, everyone thought Derrick Henry was left for dead in Tennessee. No, sir.
He is not dead. I am not dead yet.
Lamar Jackson ran in for one by his own damn self. He also ran for 87. Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely caught the touchdown. The only reason why the Texans got 2 points is that they caught Lamar in the end zone. That's it.
That's all they did. And C.J. Stroud was a little bit shaky at the end of the first half, so Davis Mills had to come in for a series. But that's it.
Oh, and by the way, Big Sean, I need you right now for the first on the field. This game is ass, man. I'm watching this shit.
It is Seahawks 6, Bears 3. The Bears almost scored one time, but it was called back. Oh, my God. And there's only 30 seconds left. Oh, Lord have mercy. Mercy.
Yep.
And here's the thing. Okay, right now, as we record this, there's 30 seconds left. It's 2nd and 10 at the Seattle 40.
They have a shot to tie this.
They have a shot to tie it. So we could be getting more football during the broadcast. We could be getting Moss football during the broadcast. But in the meantime, let's do a little holiday Heroes and Zeros.
Time to be a hero.
I was hoping you had a festive PJ, so whatever.
I will start my zero team. I gotta give it to New Orleans, man.
We have to. We absolutely have to give it to New Orleans.
All right, if that's the auto zero, I will actually give my zero team to the Philadelphia.
Ha ha! Not so fast, Eager McBeaver.
Whoa! I did zeros, not heroes. Okay, you're right. My hero team is the Kansas City Chiefs. Three games in 11 days. You win all of them, and you go 15-1, and you're probably going to go 16-1 to rest your ass off, really. You know,
I agree. I absolutely agree.
And my hero player, again, it's the running back, Saquon and Henry. Without them, the teams wouldn't be where they are. Next.
Okay, I'm going to agree with the Chiefs for the reasons stated, but I'm also going to add in a losing effort, Jonathan Taylor as a running
good choice.
Yep. So yeah, gotta give Jonathan Taylor his props here, Ian.
Well, I'm going to be going with Jaden Daniels, Jonathan Taylor, and Chuba Hubbard as my hero players. The Falcons and Cowboys defenses are my hero units, and my hero teams are the Commanders and the AFC West. And this includes for winning their first game after like a 10-game losing streak, I believe it was. And now I flip it to the
zero.
And my zero player is DTR, and my zero unit is the Jets offense. I would have gone with the Browns, Giants, and Saints offenses, but they're all banged up or washed up. And I also got to give a special zero to the college football playoff committee for expanding it to 12 when they should have just stuck with 8. And the first round games proved why they should have stuck with a...
No, I don't think so. I really don't.
They're also my zero teams. The auto zero team is the Saints.
My zero player, my auto zero team is obviously the Saints, and that's all I'm going to say about that. Sorry. All right. My zero players, DTR, and yeah.
My auto zero is the Saints. I will also give my zero to the Houston Texans. How the hell do you not show up? Really, in that sort of a game. My zero player. Wow. That's just tough, man. Because there wasn't that many zero players, but I'll give it to Cleveland. Just cause. So.
Yes.
Hold on. We have a break. Where's my friend? Oh, there it is. Caleb Williams on 4th and 10 could have launched a 50-yard, maybe 60-yard field goal to tie it. He throws a prayer and gets picked. Final score from Soldier Field: Seahawks 6, Bears 3.
I'm not going to go into the Bears still suck because we know they still suck. And I was going to say about the college football playoff thing by expanding to 12. I would like to hear a Family Feud buzzer for a couple things. They expanded to 12 so they could see to it that Alabama weaseled its way in. They thought they would provide some more competitive games. Yes, so a couple of strikes against them. So there.
All right, time to power up.
All right, Rangers, time to power up.
2-1, power up.
Okay, I'm going to start it from here as we go to the bottom. And in the bottom is... the New York football teeny tiny Giants.
Yeah, they suck.
And they still suck!
The Titans are down 1-31. The Jaguars are down 2-30. The Raiders are up 2-29. The Patriots are up 1-28. The Cleveland Browns down 1-27. The Jets suck at 26. The Carolina Panthers up 2 to number 25. The Bears are still at 24. The Saints are still at 23. The Colts are still at 22. And with one of the biggest...
drop!
Down 3 to number 21 is the San Francisco 49ers. Up 1 to 20 is the Dallas Cowboys. Up, and another one.
Drop!
The Arizona Cardinals down 3-19. The Dolphins are up to 18. And the Seahawks are down to 17. Down 2. Jay, it's on you.
With the biggest jump of the Cincinnati Bengals up 4-16. Falcons up 2-15. Bucks down 2-14. Texans down 2-13. With their new logo, which I really like, by the way, the old school this week, up 2-12 of the Rams, down 2-11 of the Broncos, top 10, up 3 are the Chargers, down 1-9 of the Steelers, up 2-8 of the Commanders, 7 stay the Ravens, 6 stay the Panthers, and the top 5 looks something like this. Vikings stay at 5, and with the biggest
drop.
Eagles down 3-4, which means we have a new number one. Lions up 1-3. Bills stay at 2. And up 2 to number one. Ian?
In the middle of the night, in my dreams, I know I'm gonna be with you, so I'll take
if I were right now doing this, Chiefs are at one. Yeah, Bills two. Lions. Oh, boy.
Buy the Lions at three. I buy the Lions at three.
Do you buy the Eagles at four? Because I don't.
I don't buy the Eagles at four. I would buy the Vikings at four.
And the Ravens at the Ravens at five.
Yeah. Yeah, the Ravens would be at five. But you know, but my guess is that top seven, they're basically fighting each other for those top five spots.
So we do need to talk about
playoffs. Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
I'll take the easier one because there are only two spots left available in the AFC. Chiefs have got home field. They're 15-1, so it's right now seeding mostly. Bills would be two, and they would be playing the 2-7. They would be playing the Broncos. Ravens would be playing the Chargers, and the Texans would be playing the Steelers. And that's it, because the Colts and the Dolphins and the Bengals are on the bubble, but do you believe any of them are going to get in? No.
No.
So what do we got on the NFC, Mr. Alexander?
A whole lot of competition. First of all, the Lions are at number one, and if the playoffs were being held today, the Eagles would be at number two, would be playing the number seven Commanders. The Vikings at number five would be playing the number Packers. Oh, and the number six Packers would be playing the number three Rams. Now, nothing has been clinched as far as the Rams are concerned yet. The NFC West is still all to play for because the Seahawks are still in it. And by virtue of their win, they're now 9-7, and
they now have a 15% chance of winning at the moment, of getting in.
They're 9-7, and of course, if the Rams win, then that helps them out. And of course, they're playing Arizona, so the NFC West is still all to play for.
Here are the clinching scenarios, okay? So the Chiefs got the number one seed by their win yesterday. Chargers win, okay? If the Chargers win, they're in, okay? They got to beat New England. If Denver wins against Cincinnati, they're in. Now, if the Rams win, the Rams can't clinch, okay? Well, maybe.
Hello?
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry. So Seattle did not lose. Okay, so the Eagles can clinch if they win or if Washington loses against Atlanta. Atlanta can clinch if they beat and Tampa Bay loses against Carolina. That ain't happening. The Commanders can win or Carolina beats Tampa Bay, and Detroit can clinch the number one seed if they win and Green Bay and Minnesota loses to Green Bay. So there are your clinching scenarios, and that's your playoff picture. I have to get off headphones for a second, but I believe there are a couple of mini news bites you need to talk about in the college area.
Mini news bites. We're going to start with the trend continuing. This time, DeSean Jackson at Delaware State University are finalizing an agreement for him to take the head coaching job there, according to Pete Thamel of ESPN. Sources says it has always been a dream of Jackson's to coach at an HBCU. Victory Formation Media was first to report the news. And you know what? Good for him. Good for him. So we have that. Toledo defeats, oh my God, okay. Six overtimes. We need to talk about six overtimes. And I forgot what the game was.
It's the Game Above Sports Bowl in Detroit, the former Quick Lane Bowl.
Yes, and I believe that would be Toledo winning over Pitt.
48-45. Happy and relieved stat boy, I'm sure.
Yeah, but this is the first time an FBS bowl game has gone to six overtimes since overtime was established in 1996. So there's that.
Well, yeah, well, there was already a four overtime game in the Hawaii Bowl with South Florida beating San Jose State. And now you got a six overtime game. If this happens during the Fiesta Bowl, then it's going to go past midnight, just like the Peach Bowl did a couple of years ago. And college football would have learned nothing in trying to speed up the games.
And one final news note here, because because the Lions are already in the playoffs, so they can rest whoever they want to, and they can also bring in whoever they want to, and that includes Teddy Bridgewater, who is coming out of retirement to sign with the Lions, according to Dan Campbell. I have a quote here.
I'm back, by the way. Just keep going. Thank you.
My team knows that's the plan. Bridgewater said last week he wants to return to the NFL after coaching Miami Northwestern Senior High School to the Class 3A Florida High School Athletic Association state title earlier this month. And we have a breaking news story.
Hit it.
Suffice it, we told you what the game, we told you about the game, and apparently DK Metcalf was very sore about it. He earns two flags, one for throwing a punch and another for throwing a headbutt.
Mm-hmm.
And incidentally, here are the stats from that game. Geno Smith, 17-23 for 160, three sacks. Zach Charbonnet, 15 carries, 57 yards, and Noah Fant led all receivers, 4 out of 5 for 43. DK, 3 out of 3 for 42. Not much going. And over on the Cargo side, Caleb Williams only went 16-28 for 122 and a pick and a wet paper bag. 7 sacks. And
yikes.
DeAndre Swift led the Bears on the ground, 12 carries, 53 yards. And DJ Moore led receivers, 6 out of 7 for 54. It was raining in Chicago, so there really wasn't much offense. Only 3 field goals, the Seahawks winning 6-3. That was the final score, as mentioned earlier. So thought we'd get the stats out of the way, just all so we can get them out of the way.
Yeah, all of a sudden, Pete Carroll to the Bears, not such a bad idea. Time for the fantasy update.
All right, Mr. Ian McQuinn, we are down to 4 in the Williams League of Fantasy Football, but we need help. So, the Alka agents went up against Gene Felcher's gas class. And it wasn't even close. The Alka agents go into the BS Bowl with a 205.3, 131.9 thrashing of the gas class. Look at this. Joe Burrow, 39-1. Saquon Barkley, 30. Jamar Gibbs, 26-4. Brian Thomas, 32-2. Devon Achane, 35. Dayton and the Broncos had 8-2. But Ian, they could have done even better.
Yes, they could have replaced. They could have replaced Ladd McConkey with Jameson Williams, who had 30, and the Broncos being replaced by the Jaguars. DST would have doubled up the score there, 222.6. And let's take a look at what the gas class had.
They had Tua at 27.4 and the Falcons D at 29. That was their high. They, I don't, although they could have helped with Jaden Daniels, 60 almost. 59.9.
Yes, Jaden Daniels, 59.9. And by the way, I'm not playing that Pac Tua soundbite again.
Oh, okay, that's fine. You don't have to.
Yeah, for obvious reasons.
Oh, holy cow! What the hell?
Yeah, please don't play that again.
It's the Chief Pie Muckety Muck!
What the hell? The hell are you doing here?
Well, I just had to hop on after hearing about that bullshit Thursday night game we just heard.
Oh, God, that was terrible.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Well, yes, and we were going over the fantasy games, and...
Hold on a second here, listen. Okay, Chico, what is the feeling of what that game was?
And back to the optimal score here. Jaden Daniels, Jerome Ford, Tank Dell, Dalton Kincaid, Will Lutz. They could have been put in for Tua, for Tyreek, for Judy, Brenton Strange, and Jake Bates. The gas class would have had 199.8.
But enough.
But that would not have been enough. So the agents are on their way to BS Bowl 14. And
again?
And it'll be going up against the winner between the Royal Woods Roosters and Rouge's Singles Bar. You remember back in week 11 when I made that mistake starting the Browns DST instead of the Eagles DST? And
it didn't do that.
And the Singles Bar went unwanted, and that pretty much got the Singles Bar in, that got Rouge's into the playoffs. And it also was the Roosters ticket to BS Bowl 14.
Oh yeah.
Literally the I've never been happier.
I'm gonna wait.
Trust me, she's happy.
I was gonna wait for the last minute. There we go. Oh my god, Ian, you didn't start somebody you shouldn't have, but it turns out that Jamie did that. Now my heart doesn't break as much.
Yes, the Cardinals DST went for a
negative
one, but even putting in the Chargers DST would not have been enough, as Royal Woods won, got their revenge, 193.7 to 166.4, and the Roosters played an optimal lineup. They had Lamar Jackson, 37.9, Justin Jefferson, 37.4, Keenan Allen, 31.1, three players with 30 or more, and they also had Josh Jacobs, Kayshon Boutte, a injury replacement, and Brandon Aubrey. They scored 20, and that was an optimal lineup, so nothing more that Royal could have done. And Rouges, meanwhile, went with Anthony Richardson, 29.1, and James Cook led all scorers there with 29.6, and Kyren Williams, A.J. Brown, Brock Bowers also scored over 20, and double figures for Terry McLaurin and Bucky Irving. But a great effort by the Singles Bar, but it was not enough to beat the Roosters, who cock-a-doodle did. Yes,
and right, and right now, at this moment in time, the BS Bowl has started.
Yes, it has. Let's see here. So the stage is set for one of the most animated championship games in Williams League history, BS Bowl 14, which is being played at Madison Mare Garden in Manhattan. The heavy favorites are Stephen Ford's Alka Agents, who have dominated from the start of the season all the way to their first BS Bowl and appear to be poised to take on the biggest mission they've ever been assigned to, that is to win a championship, something done by only one other top seed. Alka will look to accomplish it against a dark horse, owned by yours truly, known as the Royal Woods Roosters. They faced 50-50 odds throughout and overcame those, and a week one loss to those same agents, 134-4 to 120.2, but the Roosters have been their loudest when it mattered most, and it brought me my second BS Bowl appearance, with me having won BS Bowl 6 9 years ago. And BS Bowl 14 is available everywhere, so be sure to tune in. Also, for those interested in the third place game and other constellation placement games, contact your cable, satellite, telco, or streaming service so you can see those. Plus, every touchback from every game on the season finale of Williams League End Zone, presented by Autograph Kings. It is also available on Williams League Plus, which has other exclusive content, the constellation games themselves, and DFL Sunday Ticket. You can get it for just the last 2 weeks of the season for $4.20 a week. Or to access content during the off-season, the only option would be a year-round subscription, which is worth how much, fellas?
$69.69.
Okay, were you going to say something about BS Bowl 14?
I was going to say that right now, after the Thursday night game, Alka has not scored because none of the players have played. You, on the other hand, have 73.4 points.
73.4 from one-third of my roster.
Yes. So let's see if that holds up, and we will award the BS Bowl trophy next Thursday.
And now that we have BS Bowl underway from Madison Mare Garden in Manhattan.
Hey, how about the DFL? You want to talk about that?
Yes, I do want to talk about that. Let's talk about that right now. We are in playoff
mode.
Do we
have to?
Okay. All right. We start with the South Jersey Stormers crushing the Ultimate Solution by a score of 273 to 171. For the South Jersey Stormers, the shining star was Jonathan Taylor, who not only beat their projection of 23.74, but decided to throw a party with a whopping 90 points. Meanwhile, Joe Burrow makes the memo about actually trying as they fell flat on their face with only 46.98 points, well below their projection. Overall, the solution, Caleb Williams, tried to save the day by surpassing their projection with 59.76 points, but Michael Pittman Jr. clearly thought they were playing a different game, scoring only 3.9. Next up on Stout 9, sneaks past Team Awesome Sauce by a score of 162.2 to 161.9. Wow, that was close. So, on Stroud 9, shining star is Justin Jefferson, who decided that 18.26 was merely a suggestion, scoring a whopping 36.4. On the flip side, Patrick Taylor must have thought this game was optional as he scraped together 7.5. Overall, Team Awesome Sauce, Chuba Hubbard was the superstar of the week, smashing expectations with 45 points, while Brian Robinson Jr. seems to be playing hide-and-seek, finishing with a dismal 5.1. Then we go to the Gogmen and Mac and Chase.
Ah, no!
Sorry about this, Carl. The Gogmen beat your Mac and Chase 162.8 to 138.3. Back at Chase, George Kittle is the shining star, surpassing their projections with a dazzling 18.6 points. Jerry Jeudy must have taken a vacation, scoring a mere 4 points. The Gogmen's James Cook decided to show up at parties, scoring 40.1, while Najee Harris must have missed memo about showing up with 8.7. And the thing of it is, Back at Chase was leading up until the late window on Sunday.
Yeah, it wouldn't have mattered anyway.
Nutter butters. And then we go... Sorry?
I said, okay, then what?
And then in the battle of the It Was a Thing on TV hosts, we have Greg Dieter's Guaranteed Satisfaction against My Chapel Hill Transit, and I took him out back and made him humble by a score of 199 to 116. For the Satisfaction, the best player was Kyron Williams, who must have thought the projections were a suggestion, scoring 31.4. Meanwhile, Jalen Hurts, we talked about what happened to Jalen Hurts. We're not going to talk any further than that.
Correct.
Jared Goff for the Transit decides to channel his inner superhero, smashing projections with a whopping 61.84 points. Rico Dowdle scored 14.6, but you know what? I'll take it. I'll take it. I took the lead and did not give it up. So this is what the playoffs look like as we go into semifinal week. The Chapel Hill Trans led by Jared Goff. Going on Stroud on the Then the leading defending season champion, South Jersey Storm, will put their home as stretched up against a very crap Gogman team. On the line, the trip to the DFL Championship, the big game at the end at Tim Bisney Arena in Cleveland. Part of your DFL Sunday ticket package on YouTube. Don't forget to check it out. Remember, you can also get unleashed action with the package. Also part of your William Lee. We've got some great games going on in the DFL. Right? But right now,
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Stop the music!
Okay. So, now we go into week 17, and we have three games already decided. Kansas City won against Pittsburgh, 29-10, and Baltimore won against Houston, 31-2, on two games that you saw on Netflix. And, the season finale of Thursday Night Football saw the Seahawks beat Chicago by a score of 6-3. They must have thought they were playing hockey.
No, basically, the Kraken beat the Blackhawks.
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much. On Saturday, we have a triple header on the NFL Network. The Los Angeles Chargers start the day off against the New England Patriots. Denver goes to Cincinnati. And then Arizona Cardinals play the Los Angeles Rams at 8 o'clock. Then, Chico, the early block on Sunday.
Early block on Sunday. We begin with the Jets taking on their cross-state rivals, Buffalo. The Las Vegas Raiders going to New Orleans to take on the Saints. The Colts will gallop to New York to take on the Giants. The Cowboys go up to Philly. Carolina will try and play spoiler against the Bucks. And the Tennessee Titans face the Jacksonville Jaguars.
And in the late block, only two games, Miami and Cleveland and Green Bay and Minnesota. But then the Sunday night special, which my sister is really happy about, the Atlanta Falcons are going to go to Washington to play the Commanders. Then on Monday night, Mickey's Detroit Lions will play the San Francisco 49ers. And then we will
return to the scene of the crime.
Now, I need help on this. How do they determine all the games on Sunday?
How do they determine the Sunday night games?
No. Isn't the Sunday night game the most... Because everything is to be determined.
Yeah, everything's to be determined. They're going to determine the games after the Monday night game and basically put the last playoff spot to be determined on the Sunday nighter.
And also for playoff implications on Saturday to be on ESPN and ABC. Don't forget that.
Well, there's a very important game in the final week. It's going to be Detroit and Minnesota.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be for the division, I think.
And that could very well
it's
going to
be either on a Saturday or Sunday night.
Depending on what happens this week.
Okay, so we've already seen, we haven't seen either team yet. Okay, so fates to be determined. But right now, it's good to be Kansas City. It's good to be the Ravens. And it's okay to be the Seahawks, I guess.
Yeah, Kansas City's going for only a second team to try to go for a 16th win in a season.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But we will definitely see. But we need to talk about the shows here at 5-1, including the one we just recorded this afternoon. The best and worst of everything.
WLTI, we found Gordon Pepper. We put him in the studio. We joined him and talked about everything we're talking about in 2024 in the world of game shows and a little something that we call the best and worst of everything 2024 edition. That's coming up later on.
Yes. And, of course, tomorrow night, Nikki Haman and I and a bunch of others will be talking about the best and worst on the Nikki Awards. I actually did some press for this. The best and worst of 2024. A lot of it is going to do with the WWE and the fall of AEW this year. We'll be talking about that and all the good stuff that happened in 2024, and there was a lot of it. What else? I believe. And then we're going to be off here till a week from today, which is January 2nd, 2025. And we will know who is in the college football semifinals and what's going to be at week 18. Ian, your Pigskin Post.
Every Tuesday and Thursday, typically, but this week, because of NFL action on Wednesday, I posted my Thursday post on Wednesday instead. So, but it's usually Tuesday and Thursday on my Facebook page and sharing with the BS group. I have the NFL with Skull and the Dog Pound, the Big Board, and Northern Exposure and the playoff berth hunt. And it's really heating up. And fantasy football, I am doing the Rooster Report and going over the top players of the week, sleepers, and all that stuff, the players to watch and all that. And not only that, the Rooster Report, not only this week does it go over what's happening in the Loud House, but since the Roosters are in BS Bowl 14, I am putting special emphasis on it and pretty much melding together around the Williams League and the Rooster Report together, since basically that's all that there is as far as Williams League is concerned. But I do have the players to watch and the sleepers for anyone who has a team, whether they're competing for a championship or not. And then, of course, there's college. I have the bowl games and the march to Atlanta. And next week, I'm going to bring back. There's the stopper watch, because Oregon, the only undefeated team left in FBS, will be putting its stopper on the line in the Rose Bowl game against the Ohio State University. And we'll see whether or not that stopper is used or whether it continues on to the semifinals and or beyond. And, oh, yeah, there's also help wanted for all the coaching changes that are going on. And, you know, we get a little loopy whenever we do our shows other than Tuesdays, especially around the holidays with all the eggnog and all that stuff. And with New Year's coming up, we'll all be back next Thursday. We'll probably be in a very similar mood then. And I'll explain why I am more than satisfied with my season, whether or not my team wins. Yes, and I'll be back next time. Anyway, have a happy New Year, everyone, and I'll be safe out there, and I'll see you all in 25.
Chico, it was a thing to end the year.
Yeah, to end the year, we have three holiday episodes, or I should say 2.5. Our regular episodes are Game Boy commercials and a very merry mix-up. If you're a big fan of Hallmark movies, I think you're going to enjoy that one. But we have a mini-sode that we absolutely did not plan for, but we ended up recording it on Sunday anyway, and that is the Folgers Coming Home commercial from 2009.
By the way, the guy actually calls it something that we can't call it here. The guy who was in it.
Matthew Allen, yes.
Do you know what he called it? Okay.
I'm activating the cone of silence now.
He called it the incest commercial.
Oh yeah, I totally knew about that. All right. I'm deactivating the cone of silence. It's me. Hi.
I'm the problem. It's me. Yeah, okay, Yeah, he actually talked about that. Oh, boy. Because he gets it. He understands, you know?
He does.
No.
So there's that on It Was a Thing on TV.com.
Right. So, again, for everyone here, and Carl, outside of the announcement, do you have to say anything? Do you want to say anything?
Yeah, nothing to promote tonight, but tune in next week during the BS Bowl 14 recap. I will be on in some kind of capacity. I will have an announcement.
Okay. And there's that. So everyone here at the BS Big Show wishes you a happy and safe 2025. Call Uber. Don't drink and drive. And we will see you to enjoy the last week of pro football for this season. Chico, take us home.
Yes, for Carl, for Ian, for Jay, I'm Chico. Thank you ever so much for joining us in 2024. Have a very happy, healthy, and safe 2025. And what can I say except say goodnight, Jason!
Goodnight, Jason.
Goodnight, everybody. Enjoy the football. Perfect.